You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy.
Folks, this is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 76. Sorry it's been a while since our last episode, but man, have I been chock full of busy. This last weekend, spent some time in a zombie film. A friend of mine named Jace is putting together a horror film anthology, much like Creepshow was in form. And the first installment of which he was filming this weekend, which featured a zombie story, and shaved off my beard, got a clean shave on my head, and I had a full foam latex appliance put on my face. It was really cool. It was really lightweight, and it moved with my face, and I have some pictures and video clips to share with you on that shortly, I hope. So just a lot of fun. We got to eat the guy on a hood of his car. And some pretty amazing stuff, so look forward to share that with you. And then, gosh, this just seems so unbelievable, but this Monday and Tuesday that just passed, I interviewed a pretty famous guy, you might have heard him before, named Al Gore. Yes, our former vice president. He's got a documentary about global warming coming out called An Inconvenient Truth. And because of some stuff that I'm doing with our local weekly newspaper, I got a chance to interview him in person. And so basically on Monday I saw the film. I was there for a question and answer that he did with the whole audience in San Francisco at the Metreon. And then Tuesday I got to sit with him for about a half hour at a really nice suite in San Francisco and interview him. And yeah, we talked about global warming stuff, but I actually got him to open up and talk about some cartoons, and even his appearance on South Park last week. So, pretty funny guy. There's a lot to him. So, we'll be sharing with you the audio from that sometime soon, probably within the next couple weeks, but we want to give first dibs to the paper that's actually paying me to write the article first, I guess. So, but in the meantime, I have an overwhelming fun amount of classic commercials that we've not yet played on the podcast. I think one of them might be a repeat, but I just got a hold of a lot of fun commercial jingles that I wanted to share with you. So I thought we'd kick things off by going through just this super chock-load of stuff here. So our first commercial is for Big League Chew Chewing Gum.
You're in the big league. When you make a perfect fly, you're in the big leagues. When you keep the team alive, you're in the big leagues. When you block a shot or two, you're in the big leagues. You're in the big league chew.
Big league chew. Man-sized wads of great taste and shredded bubble gum stuffed into a giant Stay Fresh pouch. For big league flavor and big league bubbles, it's big league chew.
You're in the big leagues. You're in the big league chew.
Well, I know, and I want my wads of gum. I want to make sure that they're man-sized wads, that's for sure. Here's a commercial. It's probably from around 79 or 80, maybe, but it was a toy called Energized Spider-Man. And this was actually a rather lame toy for play value. It was a Ken doll-sized Spider-Man. And he had this little mechanism inside with a hole in his hand so that you could pull this big string out and attach it, his webbing out, and attach this hook to, like, something up high and turn it on, and it would, like, a little internal winch would slowly pull him up. And what sucked is, if I recall, his arm was locked in this raising-your-hand horseshack position, and he couldn't move. He wasn't even jointed. So once you got sick of letting him slowly, slowly climb up this stuff, it was really dumb. And I think he came with a helicopter. And boy, that used to always bother me when superheroes came with accessories that didn't make sense. You know, like, why did Spider-Man need a helicopter? Or I remember they had these action figures for this Marvel superhero line called Secret Wars, and they all had shields. With, like, it was just so stupid. They came with shields that had pictures on them. and it was that sort of flicker image thing where if you tilt it, the picture changes. And one of the image was a picture of themselves, and the other was a picture of their secret identity, which, you know, it makes sense that a Superman would, a superhero would want to be showing that off to the villains as they're fighting him. That was just like one of the worst accessories there. It was even, what even bothered me as a comic book geek was that Iron Man had a shield. Now this is a superhero that's got like an indestructible suit of armor, but he's got a shield on top of that, just in case. And add further insult to injury, they had Captain America in the lineup, and his whole gimmick was that he had this great shield that's red, white, and blue with a star in the middle of it. That's just like a vital part of his costume, yet he had one of these same really dumb shields as a result. So anyway, that's probably more about a secret hero shield, superhero Secret Wars shield accessories than you'd care to hear about. But here's a commercial for Energized Spider-Man.
It's Energized Spider-Man, battery not included. Attach the spider clamp, flip the switch, and the motorized web climber starts him climbing, keeps him climbing. Energized Spider-Man, the spider web trap for lifting and pulling. The spider light, you can watch him climb in the dark and pretend he's searching for the enemy. The power pack turns on the spider copter, sold separately.
Spider-Man, fly for night!
Energized Spider-Man comes with motorized web climber. Spider copter sold separately by Remco.
Wow. So here's a commercial for Anjali Perfume, and uses a famous song and co-ops it into their jingle. And it was had these sexy housewife lady that would evolve into a hot lady later on.
I can put the wash on the line, feed the kids, get dressed, pass out the kisses, and get to work by 5 and 9. Cause I'm a woman, Anjali.
Charles of the Ritz creates Anjali, the new 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman.
I can bring home the bacon,
Anjali.
Fry it up in a pan,
Anjali.
And never, never, never let you forget you're a man, cause I'm a woman, Anjali.
Wow, the 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman. That was shortly followed by the failed campaign for the 6-hour douche for the 7-hour woman. Didn't go over very well, much like that joke. Here's a commercial for G.I. Joe action figures when they were relaunched in the 80s. And what's kind of funny about this is that it's the actual first one. So this is what introduced the new lineup to kids.
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
Oh, it's here, the G.I. Joe collection.
Infantry trooper.
Codename Grunt.
Bazooka soldier.
Codename Zap.
Water soldier.
Codename Short Fuse.
Laser rifle trooper.
Codename Flash.
Ranger.
Codename Stalker.
Communications officer.
Codename Breaker.
Machine gunner.
Codename Rock and Roll.
Counterintelligence.
Codename Scarlet.
Commando.
Codename Snake Eyes.
Jizzmopper. Codename Gobbler.
Each sold separately. G.I. Joe from Hasbro.
Yeah, those were G.I. Joe toys. I remember, like, when those came out in the 80s, that was kind of like at the tail end of, like, me buying toys. Like, I just felt kind of like, as I bought them, like, I'm too old to be buying this. They came out at the same time I think He-Man and the Masters of the Universe did, and I bought a Snake Eyes action figure, and he fell apart after about a day. That's because he couldn't stand up to my aggressive lovemaking. Here's a commercial character that has disappeared and is lost to the ages. You might remember the Energizer battery commercials, and it had this, like, kind of a Weasley, Dolph Lundgren, anemic-looking guy named Jacko from Australia. And he would just do these super aggressive hyper commercials about Energizer batteries.
Oi! So mate, get Christmas brighter! You need the Energizer!
Do right, the extraordinary Energizer!
Stop bees in your stocking! Plant these by your tree! This battery has the most energy!
Do right, the extraordinary Energizer!
Santa?
Oi!
Laboratory test prove in most devices Energizer lasts longer than any other battery.
For energy, remember me! New Energizer!
He'll surprise you. Here's a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial from Canada. Wow, this is multicultural all over the place.
Wherever you see the big buck, you know you'll get the best.
Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Pick up Kentucky Fried Chicken, really finger-licking good. It's a treat every family enjoys. You'll love Kentucky Fried Chicken from the secret recipe made by only Colonel Sanders and his boys.
People everywhere are getting together with the great taste of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Pick up Kentucky Fried Chicken in your neighborhood.
There are over 400 Kentucky Fried Chicken stores all across Canada. Visit one near you.
While we're on the fast food kick there, we got a really old McDonald's commercials where they were selling these stuffed Ronald McDonald toys. And the Ronald McDonald you hear in this commercial is none other than Willard Scott. Famous fat TV weatherman that paved the way for fat TV weathermen like Al Roker. Here we go.
Hey, kids, it's me, Ronald McDonald. Did I fool you? These great new Ronald McDonald dolls sure look a lot like me, don't they? And they're just as much fun, too. You can squeeze them, you can tickle them, you can take them any place, and they go right on smiling. So why don't you get yours at any Washington, Annapolis area McDonald's restaurant for just a dollar plus tax with any purchase. It really does look like me, doesn't it? A living doll.
Apparently, Ronald McDonald was a slack-jawed, inbred hillbilly for a while there. Here is a commercial for one of my favorite toys, and I was so happy to find the commercial for this because it just had a great jingle. It's Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow. Now, Milky was this cow that was about as big as a football, and you could milk it. And you actually put her head into a bucket of water. And you'd pump the tail and it would drink the water, and you had to give it these milk pills, which are these little white coloring pills, I guess. It would make the water milky colored, and you could milk it. So what toy? You know, I had a Princess Leia doll that you could milk, but not very well, but Milky was certainly the king of the milking toys.
Here's Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow. It's fun to milk her, gonna do it right now. She drinks the water when we pump her tail. She's raising her head, it's milking time now. Her pretend milk is a-feeling the pail.
She drinks water and gets pretend milk.
Milky, the Marvelous Milking Cow.
Milky the Marvelous Milking Cow with pretend milk tablets. She's from Kenner.
They actually followed that up with Gobbles the Garbage Eating Goat. I'm not making that up. I'll put a link on the podcast page for a thing that we wrote about Gobbles. And we actually got to talk to John Waters about that, which I'll put an audio link for as well. So next up we have one of the funniest, unintentionally funny perhaps, commercial jingles for a toy called Mr. Bucket, who commanded you to put your balls in his top and out his mouth they will pop.
Oh, Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my top. Oh, Mr. Bucket, out of my mouth they will pop.
The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out!
Oh, Mr. Bucket, we're all gonna run. Oh, Mr. Bucket,
Mr. Bucket from Milton
Bradley.
You just know the toy designers are laughing their ass off coming up with that one there. In fact, we got a link to another. This is new commercial. The people that give you the Super Soakers, they just made this new gun called the Oozinator, and it shoots this slimy ooze out of the squirt gun. However, they stupidly or smartly, depending on what you like there, it's basically you put water in this squirt gun and then you put this packet of junk in it and it makes it all goopy and it shoots out as this white sticky mess, and the commercial shows these kids going, ew, gross, you got me, and they're wiping all this white cum looking crap off their face. It's just horrible there, and you know somebody at that toy company was thinking about that when they put this together. But I'll be ordering several today. In fact, if you go to Amazon and type Oozinator, that's Oozinator, and just read the bullshit customer feedback about this product, it's pretty hilarious. Well, here's a commercial for a large size Mr. T action figure.
Mr. T, he's got a real cool haircut and a mean, mean look in his eye. He's got arms that move and fists full of rings. You can't pretend that Mr. T is real tough and mean. Mr. T,
Mr. G by Galoob.
You can pretend that Mr. T is real tough and mean? Brother, you don't gotta pretend that at all, cause he's mean for reals. By the way, Mr. T, congratulations, he's getting a show on TV Land that starts in October called I Pity the Fool, where he will be touring the country and giving Mr. T's patented advice to people that need it. The story I was reading about that, Mr. T said that he's going to give, like, you know, better advice than Dr. Phil, which shouldn't be that hard to do, actually. And by the way, while I'm talking about fun entertainment news, I was just really excited to learn that Johnny Cash has another album coming out. Rick Rubin produced American Recordings 5, which is going to come out on July 4th. And as it says here, it's going to come on July 4th, and it says there'll be a song called Like the 309, which is the last song that he wrote before his death. And it says, these songs are Johnny's final statement, Rubin said. They're the truest reflection of the music that was central to his life and time. And another song that he wrote called I Came to Believe was written and recording earlier in his career about addiction and salvation through a higher power. And the balance of the set includes such songs as Bruce Springsteen's Further On Up the Road, Gordon Lightfoot's If You Could Read My Mind, which I'm really anxious to hear, Hank Williams' On the Evening Train, Rod McEwen's Love's Been Good to Me, and the traditional spiritual God's Gonna Cut You Down. And I imagine there's probably about 8 other tracks that we don't know about there as well. So really looking forward to see, to hear a lot more new Johnny Cash stuff there. I've been a big fan of that American Recording series that Rick Rubin produced, so I'm eagerly awaiting that. Well, here's a commercial from the late 70s, I believe. It was for a poison control character that they had named Mr. Yuck. Now, Mr. Yuck was a sticker. Usually it was green, and it had this guy making this yucky sad face with his tongue sticking out. And it was to teach kids about poisonous materials. And if you put this Mr. Yuck sticker on it, it would warn kids away from that.
Mr. Yuck is mean. Mr. Yuck is green.
Home is full of lots of things that children shouldn't touch. Home is full of bad things that can hurt you very much. Now there's a man whose face is green that you ought to get to know. He'll warn you when danger's coming fast or slow. Get to know his face in every single place. When you see it, you'll know quick. Things marked yuck make you sick. Sick, sick, sick. Sick, sick, sick. Mr. Yuck is mean. Mr. Yuck is green.
I don't know, that kind of made me want to drink some poison so I'd never have to hear that fucking song again. Next up, we have a commercial for Kenner Smash Up Derby. Man, I love these toys growing up. These were these jalopy-looking cars, and they came with these little plastic rip cords that you put into the back of the car, and you'd pull it really fast, and it goes zzzz, and you put the car down and smash it into another one, and it had all these pieces with triggers underneath and springs on them that would fly off, so the cars would just smash to bits. And I like to put a Halle Berry doll inside of there sometimes for added fun. But here is the commercial for Smash Up Derby.
He's a demolition demon in a beat-up Chevrolet. It ain't worth a dollar, so he wrecks it every day. Now here is Kenner's SSB Smash Up Derby set. And you can hoot and holler, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. Crash, bang, crack 'em up, put 'em back again. Crash, bang, smash 'em up, it's smash up time, my friend. Kenner's SSP Smash Up Derby set comes with everything you see right here.
I saw those commercials that use the fake hillbilly accents there. They're just great. Here's a commercial for the Star Trek Command Console. And, man, this thing was cool. It was basically a walkie-talkie set that looked like the Star Trek tricorder communicators, but it also came with, like, a command base that you can that was bigger that you could plug in and talk to the remote people with. And here it is.
Let's contact Steve. Check.
It's the Star Trek Command Communications Console for use with a Star Trek communicator sold separately. Each uses one 9-volt battery, not included. The Command Communications Console has a multicolor phaser light screen. You can broadcast up to 1,300 feet, and there's a Morse code key that you can buzz out loud or broadcast to the communicators. The Star Trek Command Communications Console. Communicators sold separately in pairs. From Mego.
Boy, Mego, they just made some of the coolest superhero dolls of all time. They made these great Marvel and DC characters, Batman, Robin, the whole works, and they all had little costumes. Love those things there. Some of my favorite toys. Here's a commercial for Stratego. Now, it's not the Stratego commercial that I remember loving the most. It had sort of a jingle where it went like, Stratego! But this one's fun nonetheless.
This is Stratego, not a place. Not a time, but a battle of wit and skill and strategy. Stratego, we're generals. Field marshals. Scouts and lieutenants. Miners and spies all conspire with bombs and brains to capture the enemy flag, to win the battle, to win the game. Get Stratego from Milton Bradley. Victory awaits you.
Well, if only our world leaders would settle their differences playing Stratego, just think of what a great place the world would be. Actually, if they settled their differences with hot buttered games at Twister, that'd be even more fun to watch on top of it. So here's our final commercial of the day. It is for Strollin' Bowlin'. And this was like a little suitcase-looking thing that you folded open, and it had these little bowling pins that fell down when they hit them, but they were fixed into the base of the unit so you couldn't lose them. And it had a wind-up bowling ball with feet. So you'd wind the bowling ball up and let it go, and it'd go and hop all the way down and then knock some of the bowling pins down. And inevitably, it'd like turn to the left or right and fall off the thing. I used to try bringing that to real bowling alleys sometimes, and then would get beat up by the bullies that called me a little Johnny Jerkass. Which wasn't even my name, but that's what they call me sometimes.
Bowling, strolling, bowling, strolling, bowling, strolling, bowling.
Well, you open up the gate.
There's a little bowling alley right there.
You wind up the ball.
It's got a little bowling shoes to wear.
Yeah. Strolling, bowling, strolling, bowling, strolling, bowling, strolling, bowling. It's a little bowling ball that walks right down the lane.
It's funny.
It's strange.
This little bowling game.
Strollin' Bowlin' is a little portable bowling alley from Tomy.
It's a little portable bowling alley. You know, speaking of a little portable bowling alleys, that reminds me of this funny joke we used to tell when we were a kid. You see, Popeye walked to this bowling alley, and instead of a bowling ball, he had to use some old used toilet paper. And Olive came running in, holding her skirt frantically, and said, Popeye, what are we going to do about... Hey, guys, do you hear that? I think I hear it, too. Oh, it's time for Retro Crush Voicemail. You can call it any time or day. 916-231-9480. That's the number. And please don't slumber. Call right now, and we'll love to take your voicemail. I notice we don't have a lot of repeat callers sometimes. I think it's because sometimes I'm a rude jackass when I'm reading those voicemails. But, you know, I'm sorry. There's no offense meant. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, keep it real, as they say on the street there. But, yeah, we've got some voicemails. And as always, you can call 916-231-9480. Or you can visit our website at retrocrush.com, and we have an email address that you can click there, or it's rbarry@retrocrush.com. And you know, we've got some other things set up. In fact, we've also set up a MySpace page. And I've always been against MySpace because I thought, you know, it's pretty much just for attention whores. But I thought, well, duh, that's me. So I set one up there. And it's myspace.com/RetroCrush. Pretty clever name I came up for it there. And I'd be happy to add you as my friend. Because, you know, nothing says true friendship like clicking anonymous pictures of people and building them onto your list. You know, that's just what friendship's all about. So I'd be happy to be a true friend to you if you'd like to add me to your list. So first up, here is a kind of a scary voicemail.
Hey, Robert. This is Phelan from California. I just got done listening to your podcast about satanic songs, I guess. And yeah, I liked it a lot, especially since I'm a fan of Iron Maiden. Also, speaking of the devil, there's going to be a concert in San Diego on 666. Gonna be kick-ass, Slayer, Children of Bodom, Lamb of God, some other guys. But yeah, I love your podcast. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Wow, thanks for the call there, the fellow Californian there, Rock On California. And, I guess on June 6th of 2006, since that is the Day of the Beast, there's gonna be a lot of, satanic activity. I believe Amy Grant is launching a reunion tour on that day with Stryper as well, so I'm eagerly awaiting that. Our next voicemail, we've had a lot of calls about the Popeye Schoolyard song, and here's a couple more about that.
Hey, Robert, this is Cowface from Utah, and I got a Popeye song from you. Oh, yeah. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I live in a garbage can. I drank some drain cleaner and melted my wiener. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Hey, great show.
Hey, that's one I've never heard before. Thanks for contributing that one there. I drank some drain cleaner and burned off my wiener. God, I can't count the days that hasn't happened to me.
Hey, this is Neil in Greenville, South Carolina, and listening to the Popeye songs and childhood songs reminded me of something that happened to me. In the late 80s, I was teaching at an elementary school, and one day a couple of the boys came up to me and said, listen to this song we just made it up. It's great. And they proceeded to sing to me, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg. I told them, yeah, we thought we'd made that up too, Wade. Anyway, just thought I'd share. Thanks.
Boy, these kids these days trying to say they made up stuff that I made up back in school. Well, that's just crazy. And our last voicemail of the day is from a gentleman that told us about some of his weird addictions to candy as a child.
Hello, Robert Barry. It's Sean calling from Vancouver. I was just listening to your podcast about Pop Rocks. And it reminded me of this time, me and my friends, we were pretty bored, and we decided to see what would happen if we snorted different candies up our noses. We started with Sweet Tarts. Wasn't so bad, tingled a little bit, but the next one we did was Pop Rocks, and not only is the initial jolt of popping pretty bad, but then about half an hour later, I was still getting random pops every once in a while, you know, if I inhaled or something. And graduated on to the powder from the inside of Fizz candies, but that's an entirely different story. That's pretty much the end of my anecdote, so I like your show. Goodbye.
Oh, well, thanks for calling. Well, that does it for the voicemails today. And again, please call us, 916-231-9480. Always love to get voicemails from you there. And you can call any time, day or night. It goes straight to a computer voicemail, so you don't have to worry about waking anybody up. Not that I ever sleep these days, but love to hear from you. Well, my good friend Christy Savage from Trash Film Orgy, who you've heard on the podcast a few times, had her 35th birthday party a couple weeks ago, and there is this like crazy room at the house in which people were smoking, and I don't think it was like regular cigarettes because it smelled kind of funny, and we were eating Doritos like crazy in that room. But we thought it'd be a good idea to try to record some podcast material in there, and well, I'll let you be the judge whether that was a good idea or not.
Well, we're at Christy Savage's 35th birthday party.
Yeah, okay.
36th birthday party.
Okay.
One of those parties. And we just finished up an exciting conversation about lactation and the sexual attraction that some people have towards lactating.
I think he started the conversation.
Actually.
I didn't start the sexual end of it, though. That was once Fargo got in there.
But it's one of those words. It's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's not like anybody, like, backed off. After
exactly.
I did.
Exactly.
I totally quit the conversation.
Well, you quit putting out
the
tweaker
that's right.
Milk.
You drew the line.
Oh,
well,
I
did draw the line at tweaker milk.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think I would draw the line there, too. Just
no, dude, if you're stuck here, I drink it. Right, Bobby?
Lena, have you ever had tweaker milk before?
No, I haven't.
All right, well, that's good.
As much as I love milk to suckle and teach.
Mr. Vargo, have you ever had tweaker milk before?
I have not. I mean, my mom's, yeah, of course, but I was younger then.
What was your mom's tweak substance of choice?
Gosh, probably something healthy. She's Hungarian, probably red wine.
Wow, well, there you go.
That's not a tweak.
That's
my mom wasn't a tweaker, I'm sorry.
Then you never had tweaker.
You got mush milk.
No.
Mush milk.
Mush milk.
Hee hee.
Can we just stop every once in a while?
Yeah, I think then, so now we're debating the merits of Nancy Walker and how sexy
Robert
that she was.
Hot.
She said,
Robert said she's hot. What the fuck is that?
Who are we to say what is hot? I mean, anyone who looks like Nancy Walker can ever be considered hot?
No, I guess so, but...
Nancy Walker was the precocious and somewhat sexy redhead who... Yeah, she was Rhoda's mom.
It was on Dick.
She directed the Village People movie.
No, that's Rosemarie, motherfucker.
That's another hottie.
No, she was way hotter than Nancy Walker.
And Nancy Walker was also in the Bounty, the Quicker Picker Upper commercials.
Yeah, Rosemary.
And she had a show called Blanche's Beauties for a while.
She's 5 foot tall. She's like a Jewish redhead. She's a firecracker. She's a role model for all of them, I think. And a great American.
Have you ever been with Nancy Walker?
I have not, only in my dreams.
In your dreams, what is Nancy Walker wearing when you first hear her?
She usually wears a slip like Elizabeth Taylor with some turned down hose and then her has her hair up in the bottom.
And then what does she do?
That's it.
Tweaker.
Damn. There goes my Nancy Walker jack-off tape idea.
What's Nancy Walker wearing?
Oh,
fuck. Yeah. You know what I would do? If I was with Nancy Walker,
it's totally the same.
She'd be wearing a bikini made out of Bounty paper towels.
I knew it would be fine.
And then it'd come all over it, and then it would soak it right up.
No, I'm doing it all night long. Every time you come in.
Hey, will you hear the song?
What?
All right, now we're in the room with a giant turd who's looking for ninjas.
There's shit all over the place. Ninja turd.
It's a teenage mutant ninja turd. Mr. Turd, how are you doing today?
Okay.
Wow, you almost had me there.
I've been better.
Well, that's good. Well, that was pretty exciting. That's all we got to say about Mr. Turd.
Oh, yeah, that was a golden moment in podcasting history there, folks. What's funny, that last bit, there actually was a guy dressed as a giant turd. He's got this Mr. Hankey costume, but he modified it and made it look like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle costume on a turd. So he really was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turd. So pretty exciting stuff there. So, getting back to the Al Gore interview I did on Tuesday there, it just still seems so surreal. I mean, you know, I should be the kind of guy that's interviewing you if you were a sweat hog on Welcome Back, Kotter, or, maybe you were friends with Charles Nelson Reilly. And for me to interview the guy that maybe should rightfully be the president of the United States and the leader of the free world right now, somehow he ends up on the Retro Crush podcast with me. It just blows my mind. But as I was going to interview him, I was kind of, you know, a little nervous. But mostly I was dying to ask him about a portrayal of him on South Park from the previous week. Now, I love South Park to death, and I think their satire is the best in the business of any medium, for that matter, and the way they've skewered Scientology, the Catholic Church, you know, plenty of other things has just been right on the money. But last week they had Al Gore on there, and it just seemed a little misguided. They made him have this really effeminate voice, which he does not have. And he kept saying, for cereal, which, you know, I've never heard him say either. And basically to ridicule his quest to do something about global warming, they decided to have him looking for the Man-Bear-Pig, this Bigfoot-type creature, and he would stop at nothing. And basically all the surrounding characters on the South Park episode were ridiculing him because he didn't have any friends and he was just doing stuff like this to have attention. And it was clearly, you know, Trey Parker and Matt Stone's attempt to just jab Gore for, you know, going on about global warming as if it was to just have attention rather than something he really cares about. Which is kind of a shame because, I mean, anybody who knows Al Gore, that's probably one of the few things that you can count on him for, is he's been a big proponent of the environment. So I'm thinking, like, how much of a sense of humor does he have about himself? You know, if I ask him about the South Park episode, will he get mad? Will he have actually seen the thing? And I'm just going to play for you a tiny bit where I actually got the guts to ask him about it. It was really kind of fun. We talk about cartoons for a bit here. So I'm going to start off by playing a clip from the South Park cartoon that he was in, his portrayed in at least, and then we'll go into a small clip of us talking. We'll have the whole interview, about a good nice 25-minute interview with him, probably about 2 weeks. But in the meantime, here's a clip from that you're going to hear.
Thank you, Mr. Mackey, students of South Park Elementary. I'm here to educate you about the single biggest threat to our planet. You see, there is something out there which threatens our very existence and may be the end to the human race as we know it. I'm talking, of course, about Man-Bear Pig.
Man-Bear Pig?
It is a creature which roams the earth alone. It is half man, half bear, and half pig.
Really enjoy a lot of the animated segments in this film. I think it really did a remarkable job of keeping sometimes things very lighthearted in such overwhelmingly depressing subject matter at times. Was that initial animation segment done by Simpsons animators?
Futurama,
which
is also a Matt Groening product.
Right.
Futurama is The Simpsons as the Jetsons were to the Flintstones.
Gotcha.
And my second oldest daughter, Kristen, worked for Matt Groening for 3 years and on the Futurama. And she has heard my presentation on global warming all her life. And when they were doing that episode, she said, hey, what about this? And she was part of the small creative team that did that segment.
That's funny.
And I met Matt Groening through my daughter and became good friends with him. And that led, by the way, to a cameo appearance on Futurama. I appeared as a disembodied head.
That's funny.
Thank you very much. And incidentally, last summer I was walking down the sidewalk on Townsend here. I have a business here. I'm here a couple days a week. And I was walking down with my business associates down to Paragon Restaurant. And this group of young people in their, I'd say, late 20s were coming the opposite direction. And they get about 20 feet away. And they don't say, hey, there's the former vice president of the United States, or anything like that. Instead, one of them throws both arms up in the air and goes, I have ridden the mighty moonworm! And my associates went, and I'm going, right on, man! But it was fun to get to know Matt and that group. And when I asked him if I could have that piece, he gave it to us for the movie for free.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I had the advantage of getting all of Al for
the movie, not just
the discipline.
It felt so much easier for all of you.
Well, being recognized for cartoon catchphrases, I can only wonder what last week's South Park episode may
I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's you're the star and of the episode practically. So
yeah, well, that's I'm very flattered. apparently, I'm trying to slay some mythical beast or something.
The man bear pig. Yes.
The man. Those guys are crazy.
So we'll see how much he laughs when he actually sees that episode there. But he's got to have a pretty thick skin. I was actually talking with Johnny Ryan about that the other day, and he was admitting that certainly these there's no way you could be vice president of the United States for 8 years and not be resistant to insults of any kind. So just a really unreal. I'll put some pictures up on the podcast page of us together there. It's just bizarre beyond belief. But I'm looking forward to getting some more true pop culture type interviews on the site. In fact, Randy just did a really fun interview with Richard Hurd, who's been in a lot of different movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger and a bunch of people, and was also very famous for being in the science fiction 80s series called V. And looks like Randy's also got lined up an interview with Dale Bozzio from Missing Persons and also the lead singer of Flock of Seagulls. I guess there's a concert coming up in Stockton, California, with Flock of Seagulls, Missing Persons, and Naked Eyes. So that'll be a lot of fun to see. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, and thanks so much for continuing to tune into the Retro Crush podcast. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks to all of the new listeners and the longtime listeners. We're keeping this an advertising-free podcast, at least for the time being. It's a big bandwidth strain on the website, so if you can, check out our website, look at some of the advertisers on there, would really appreciate it. In fact, right on the front page, we've got some great appropriate advertisers. We've got 80stees.com. If you just look in the upper right-hand corner, they sell a lot of great comic book, television, and retro t-shirts. And these are officially licensed shirts. They're really high-quality, nice stuff. There's freebento.com. A lot of great vinyl figures and just crazy Japanese toys and stuff like that. And then we also have actionhq.com, which is a really cool importer of toys from Hong Kong that's worth checking out there. And lastly, I wanted to thank Singular Films, singularfilms.com, which you should check out. And please let them know that you heard about them from Retro Crush. They got a lot of great fun films, exploitation movies, weird little school films, educational films, propaganda films, burlesque films from the 20s, just a lot of great, great stuff. And other things to just kind of plug for you to check out. If the Notorious Betty Page is playing in your area, give that a look. It's such a sweet little fun movie. And Gretchen Mol is just perfect as Betty Page. I didn't like seeing her as Betty Page at first, because as soon as she comes out, you're like, that's not Betty Page. But she is just so charming. You'll fall in love with her. And once she starts smiling for the camera and posing with a whip and doing all the trademark Betty Page stuff, you're hooked. I mean, she's as good as Betty Page as Jamie Foxx was as Ray Charles there. It's just amazing, amazing performance. So go check out the Notorious Betty Page. Also, An Inconvenient Truth, a documentary about global warming. I know that sounds like dry subject matter. It's going to be opening at the end of May, in early June in some places. So keep your eyes open for that. But it's really good. If anything, it just explains how global warming works in a really accessible way. And I think it's something that schools will show a lot. So without further hesitation, we are going to end today's show. Actually, we're not going to end it just yet, because I just remembered I wanted to tell you how much Jewel's new album sucks. I don't know what I was thinking. I looked on my iTunes this morning, and I see in the music store that Jewel has a new album out. And I like Jewel's first couple albums a lot. And I kind of liked her last album, the one that where she kind of was supposedly making a commentary on the pop scene by making a pop record, but, just doing the same crap she was making fun of. But this was supposedly like this back to basics, back to her folk roots album. And the cover, I'll admit, you know, she looks so damn hot on that cover. I thought, wow, you know, that was a sucker. But on iTunes, it's $13.99, and it's just a bunch of just absolute crap songs. I mean, you won't believe how awful some of these songs are. It's like she pulled out some journal she wrote when she was 15 and decided to sing it in the recording studio. It's just, you know, telling you how hard it is to be famous and how her heart keeps getting broken and blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, if you like crappy music, this would be a pretty good CD for you to get. Here's a small clip from one of her songs. Here's a particularly awful song of hers. It's called Good Day from her new album. This is a little excerpt from the beginning of that there.
Say to myself, self, why are you awake again? It's 1 a.m. Standing with the fridge wide open, staring, such a sight, fluorescent light. The stars are bright, might make a wish if I believed in that shit. But as it is, I might watch TV, cause it's nice to see people more messed up than me. Say to myself, as I smile at the wall.
So it's nice to watch people that are more messed up than me. You know, actually, just look at those twisted snaggle teeth you got there. There aren't too many people that are more messed up than you, Jewel. But, no, I didn't. Yes, I did. Oh, please, Jewel, don't sue me. I know you got massive legal powers there, but please use them for the force of good. So yeah, thumbs down. I mean, also thumbs down to iTunes. They're selling this thing for $13.99. I clicked it, not really paying attention to the price. I mean, you could buy the whole CD on Amazon for $10.99. So I wish I'd bought it physically so I could resell the damn thing because I hate it so much. But once you buy a crappy CD on iTunes, you're just stuck with it forever. So if you know somebody wants to come to my house and make a copy of it, just let me know. I'd be happy to keep people from actually having to pay for this piece of shit. So anyway, I'm not too bitter, though, that's for sure. Actually, you know what? I recommend, instead of, if you're interested in Jewel's new album, why don't you get Loretta Lynn's album, Van Leer Rose? There is just so many fun album songs on that album there. It's produced by Jack White from the White Stripes. And it's good. If you really, she's a great singer, pushing into her 70s now, I think. But just some fun songs on there. Here's a couple little blurbs from her album. You can get it on iTunes or anything else there.
One of my fondest memories was sitting on my daddy's knee, listening to the stories that he told. He'd pull out that old photograph like a treasured memory from the past and say, child, this year's the Van Leer Rose. I can't understand a word you're saying. We've got a bad connection on our minds. Communication's one thing we never seem to find. Oh Lord, I'm sorry, but there's trouble on the line. Woman, you don't know me, but you can bet that I know you. Everybody in this whole darn town knows you too.
That was a part of Family Tree, which is a great song where she basically visits the house of the woman that's been taking her man from her, and just a pretty great lyric. She wrote all these songs, and they're just great stuff. In fact, there's a song that she wrote here for Elvis that he didn't use, so she dug it out of her old archives and decided to record it herself. Here's this song. It's called Have Mercy.
Have mercy on me, baby. I'm down up on my knees.
So that's just some great, great stuff. A couple other fun songs on there. I'm going to share some excerpts for you here. You can tell I love Loretta Lynn. I think she's just amazing here. I didn't really know much about her before this album came out. Shame on me. Just like with Johnny Cash, I kind of discovered him later on in his career and really wasn't there for the prime stuff. But Loretta Lynn, she's still touring. She can go to LorettaLynn.com. She's selling T-shirts and doing all kinds of stuff there. Still really active there. Really pioneer of the women's country music. Here's a fun song called High on a Mountaintop. Just, you can't help but feel happy hearing this one.
We live, we love, and we laugh a lot. Folks up here know what they got. High on a mountaintop, high on a mountaintop. The rest of the world's like a little dim spot. I ain't coming down, no, never, I'm not. High on a mountaintop, high on a mountaintop.
She's also got a song, which we're not going to play for you here, just since it's a little bit too long to really enjoy the whole thing. A little excerpt won't do it justice, but it's called Little Red Shoes. It tells a little fun autobiographical story about how her dad had to steal some shoes for her when she was a little kid. It's a song about a woman in women's prison who killed her husband for cheating on her, and she ends up in the electric chair. And this one is kind of fun. It wraps up the whole CD. It's called The Story of My Life. And, God, she's just so cute for such a neat old spunky lady there. And she can still sing some fun songs like this. And this is called Story of My Life.
Well, here's the story of my life. Listen and I'll tell it twice. Yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey. Well, I was born in old Kentucky. In them hills where folks are lucky, and it's paradise to me. Well, I got a fella right over the hill. If he asks me to marry, well, I know I will. He asks me to marry, and the kids are born. And I'm telling you, I don't want him no more. Yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey.
Well, thanks again for tuning into the podcast, and we'll catch you again soon. This is a sort of a double long episode here for you to make up for the fact that we skipped a week, and we'll have episode 77 coming up shortly. So until then, yay, have a good day.